Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to In Universe. We talk the ins and outs of our favorite fictional universes. I'm Adam.
I'm Andrew.
And today we are talking the Daggerheart playtest.
I really feel like I didn't have enough air in my chest there for a second.
Yeah, I could kind of hear it. If you're not familiar with the Daggerheart stuff, which is pretty fair, I think.
Yeah, full on cut me off like that.
You're about to call us little podcast boys or some shit.
Well, I was going to say we're a couple of RPG boys that we like to build and look into like RPG stuff. And we stumbled on a beta, what was it? A closed beta?
Playtest beta.
Yeah, Daggerheart RPG that we applied for. And we got it. And if you don't know what Daggerheart is, I think that's what Adam was going to
do. I think for most people, some background will probably be useful in this scenario. So you probably at least heard of them. They're far more famous than this podcast by a million miles. Critical Role.
I don't know if I'd say a million.
I think I might say a million. Probably more, honestly. Critical Role is an actual play podcast where they began playing Pathfinder, then they switched to D&D, which is when they got like crazy popular, and now they're fully affiliated with D&D. A lot of the time they have like official D&D books they put out. They have, you know, a TV show, which is mostly D&D, the TV show.
Yeah, I think we talked about the show.
We have, yeah. Vox Machina. But recently, especially, and if you're in the tabletop role-playing game space, you probably remember this. The OGL stuff, basically some legal nonsense that was going to make making anything about D&D much harder in the future that didn't go through. When that happened, they decided they were going to just make their own D&D. They were tired of using somebody else's and having to deal with all the legal stuff with that. So they're just going to make their own. And this is that. This is their take on a pretty classic fantasy role-playing game.
Mm-hmm. And this is the beta of it. So
yeah, anything we say in this episode
is subject to change.
Yeah.
As of right now, as of recording, this is a closed beta. So there's a bunch of shit, like we signed an NDA and everything, so this isn't gonna come out until
technically only after I we're allowed the NDA. So technically Andrew's allowed to say this because I guess technically he stole the material from me. But
I'm just looking at it right now, but if
you're hearing this, it means that they have allowed us to, they've, you know, given us the okay.
We're allowed to talk about this, or we're really pushing for a loss.
I'm begging to get sued. We're probably, there's not much that they released so far. This is kind of the first big this sort of thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if they released more before that we just haven't heard of or whatnot, but this is specifically character creation for
just the character system. Creation. As far as I know, this isn't, they have not released anything before. The only other place you would get to like play with playtest and stuff from this is if you are a relatively big RPG YouTuber and you were at the con that they were at.
Yeah, I know.
Playing
they,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you weren't there, it's likely you wouldn't have got to play with this. This is kind of, as far as I'm aware, the first big release of playtest material. So in that,
as far as I know, this stuff should open up on March 12th. So
that's when they told us, kind of.
Yeah, it should be past March 12th if you're listening to this. So if you're interested in the open beta, after this, go check it out.
Yeah. But yeah, because it's just character creation.
And hey, if you can anywhere, tell them we sent you.
Yeah, I think that is an option when you sign up for it. But yeah, because it's just character creation, we're gonna just walk through character creation. Obviously, we can't review what it's like to play fully just yet.
Mm-hmm. We're basically, there's like a pretty useful, I'd say, step by step like instructions at the beginning. We're basically gonna go through these 14 steps, it looks like, and then talk about the options and then kind of pseudo build a character. Like maybe we pick what we like to be the best option, and then maybe we'll have a character by the end of this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll have at least one, maybe even two, if each of us pick something different or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can start. The first thing they suggest you do is pick your class, which I think is interesting. Picking your class first. I mean, lots of people do that for RPGs, but I know some people get their stats first and they'll pick a class based on that. As far as I can see, stats are important to your character, but not as important as maybe in D&D they usually are.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting that they kind of advise you to do that first. I think most modern players usually have an idea of what class they're going in.
Yeah.
First. Like, it used to be you kind of needed your stats first to figure out what you're good at. But I'd say as of right now, this is kind of the default way of doing things.
So obviously we can't show you, but just to explain, a lot of the subclasses and stuff are all in these little cards that are in the PDF we've been sent.
Oh yeah, they got cool art too.
They have really cool art. I actually do like the design of the cards. They seem like they would be useful for people new to the system.
Yeah. Now, one thing I would say, I kind of wish the art was on the back of the card, just so you could do pretty easily. I feel like if you wanted to make your own cards for a lot of the homebrew stuff, a lot of people would be pretty disappointed having it not all look like the similar same, and everything. Yeah. And an easy way you could do that is art on the back and then put it in a sleeve or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's literally just like a preference or whatever. So, but for class, I guess we could just go through and list the class options.
There's a lot
now.
Of your standard ones that I think anybody who's played D&D 5th edition will get pretty quickly. There's sorcerers, warrior, which is just fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Bard, which is good.
Yeah,
druid.
Bard seems cool. Druid.
Those are all pretty standard. Guardian, which is, from what I understand, their version of cleric.
Oh, is that what I was thinking? That was more like paladin, but it might be a mix of both.
It's, well, seraph is their version of paladin, which we'll get to.
Because guardian, I know on the sheet, talks about valor and blade.
Yes, they get valor and blade deck, but seraph also gets. They get valor and splendor.
Okay.
But yeah, so Guardian is kind of like their cleric.
Mm-hmm. And then Ranger, I know, is
pretty
one.
Common. Rogue, pretty common. And then, Seraph is their, like,
Paladin.
It's spellcasting. The thing it uses to cast spells is strength.
Okay. Oh, that's kind of cool.
They're very angel themed, as with their name, and the art has big angelic wings. And then there's wizard, which again I think is pretty standard. So most of this is at
most. You're gonna get what each one. If you've played D&D before, you're gonna kind of understand.
At worst, it's D&D with like the serial number filed off a little.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing is that is cool I like about these classes that I wanted to talk about, because it's not, it's on the cards, but if you don't know what you're looking at, you won't necessarily get it at first. Each class gets access to what are essentially like their spells, even for classes that don't necessarily have spells, but like spell-like abilities.
Yeah, spell-like abilities, yeah.
So they get access to two different decks of those, and they get to pick from those decks how they want their build. That seems to be an important part of how you're building.
I think that's a really cool way of doing things.
Like, just for example, bards have access to both Grace, the Grace kind of deck, and the Codex deck, which means they get access to kind of the, like, Grace is like the bardy kind of spells, and Codex is like the wizardy kind of spells.
Yeah.
So they get access to just both of those. And you pick from those decks how many of each you want for your bard, which I think is a neat way to do that.
I think that's really cool. I was talking to you about this earlier about how that felt pretty video gamey.
Yes.
And I kind of really like that.
I don't know about definitely, but it feels like this is the kind of game you could kind of play like a roguelite kind of thing. Like go through a dungeon, each room get a new card.
That could be really fun if that's possible.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible right now. But I'm sure there would be a way to do it. It feels like the kind of game, because it's got abilities that are cards, to like pull random hands out and that's your abilities.
That's kind of what I was thinking it was going to be when it was kind of described as I thought it was going to be like a deck building RPG, which
I think is a cool idea.
I've talked to you about, like, I think would be a really cool idea of doing stuff
with some more playtesting. Maybe that is what they're going for. But from what I've seen so far, you just pick the abilities you want, and those are what you have.
Yeah, and if it's not, there's definitely
there seems to be a way to
see the cards. There's gonna be fans that are gonna want that sort of thing.
I agree.
And homebrew communities are.
I think it wouldn't be that hard to homebrew either. Now it's a pretty new system, and you're trying to play test it, so maybe don't do homebrew first.
I don't think we should worry about homebrew. I'm just talking about, I see a lot of potential in that sort of thing.
So yeah, with all of those in mind, let's pick one class to kind of focus on.
Do you want to do something classic to kind of compare and contrast a bit? Or do you want to do one of the more newer, not full on new, but one of the more changed?
Thinking we should kind of go in the middle, warrior, which is, from what I see, the easiest way to pick a fighter or even barbarian, because there's no barbarian option besides warrior. Warrior seems to be your melee guy, and then you pick what kind of warrior you want to be. My thought process in that is that, one, it is easy enough to compare and contrast. It is new, though, and I think spells are going to make sense kind of regardless. We get spells. I'm interested to see what these cards do for people who aren't
the martial
spells.
Stuff. Yeah. No, I agree. Let's go warrior.
Okay, cool. I'll pull up the warrior sheet if you want to pull up its cards. We have the warrior page and everything.
Yeah, we took a pause and printed out. I ended up printing out the whole PDF on accident, but printed out warrior character sheet to keep track of.
Okay. So warriors have access to the blade and bone domain decks, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
First, we're going to start. Okay. So we picked our class. We want to go warrior. Now we got to pick our subclass for step two. Now, as of right now, there are only two.
Yeah, I have like no idea about subclasses and stuff.
Looks like it just changes the like foundation card you get, which basically gives you your first real different ability that would make, you know, two different warriors in a party different from each other.
Okay, that's cool.
So the first one is Call of the Slayer, which is on a roll with hope. And if we want, we can explain how you roll in Daggerheart.
Yeah.
It's not a d20 and stuff.
Yeah, so Daggerheart is 2d12s. It's best that they're different colors so you can kind of keep track of them.
One is your hope die, one is your fear die.
Yeah, and if you roll higher on the hope die, then you've rolled with hope. and vice versa. If you roll higher on the fear die, then you rolled with fear. If you roll the same number on both, I believe that's a critical.
That's a critical, yes.
Yes.
And having more hope is typically good. Having more fear is typically bad. Though, yeah. What it looks like, some abilities do work differently.
I know they do a really interesting thing with the action economy.
Yes.
Where the enemies only go if you've rolled with fear. There's not really like an initiative. It's whoever goes, goes.
As far as I know,
has some pros and cons to it.
Yeah.
I think it could be a lot more fluid and strategical. But if you have more shy players, you might want to encourage sort of a turn order or something.
Yeah.
Or
what it seems like, nobody can go again until after everybody's gone.
Yes.
And from what I heard, and this is not in our playtest materials, this is just what I hear from other creators who have had, who like played the game at the con, say they had what were like called action tokens, and to do an action you spent one and gave
it. Seen those are, they're like little jewels that they use.
You give to use an action, you declare an action and you give your little jewel to the DM, the GM, and they hold on to that. Then when they do something, they can spend one and give it back. So that would also be kind of a turn in order, because like you only have many.
That is one thing I fear about this system. It's very material heavy.
Yes. It seems like it would be difficult to do remotely
for online play, which might not be something they think about too much because they have a weekly game set out, scheduled as their actual play and whatnot.
Exactly.
But it's sure probably something they've definitely considered too. And whatnot, and
I would be surprised if they didn't eventually come out with their own, either their own specific VTT for it, or just stuff for other VTTs.
Yeah, I know this would probably work pretty well on Foundry.
Yeah,
because that usually works pretty well with like cards and stuff that keeps more physical trackers and whatnot.
Tabletop Simulator is similar.
Yeah, that too.
But yeah, so that would also be sort of a makeshift turn order in that. Once you spent your action token, not like you got another one to go. So, one of your other players with one would have to go. And one thing I heard that I do like is some monsters, which again, we have none of in the current stuff. But what I've heard is monsters have abilities that cost more than one action token.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like bigger stuff they can do. Like that kind of fixes the thing. One of the big problems in D&D, which is if you just have initiative on somebody, like if you just have like way more people in the fight, you're just going to destroy whoever it is. But for certain monsters, that unlocks their ability to be like, if they have five action tokens, then they can do their big, you know, dragon breath weapon and stuff like that.
I think the turn action economy and everything, I don't know if so far I'd be like, oh, it seems really good. But it does seem really interesting so far. Exactly, I'd love to see it in play.
So, with hope and everything now somewhat explained, the abilities, which use a lot of that, are here. So on a roll with hope, which means your hope die is rolled higher than your fear die, you may place a single 1d6 slayer die on this card instead of taking the hope. You can store a number of these d6s equal to your proficiency, and can pick up any number of these and roll them when making a weapon attack or damage roll to add their value to the total. Discard any used this way. At the end of the session, clear any remaining. So basically, this is your barbarian. If you roll with hope, take a little die, build up a pool of them, and then spend them. This is your kind of reckless attack.
That sounds kind of cool. So, is there anywhere that explains what the slayer die specifically are? Does each is it kind of like I know we've been dabbling in the RPG system Dungeon Crawl Classics a bit, and each class has their own kind of special action kind of die. Is that what's kind of going on here?
Slayer die,
the classes have like specific kinds of die for different things.
Doesn't seem to be slayer die. This just seems to be a way to denote that this d6 is different,
this kind
from like
of
advantage
die.
Because advantage is also D6s in the system. You just add a D6 to your regular roll. So this would be like a slayer die is something only a warrior with this call of the slayer can have. They get a number of their die, and they can roll those to add them to either make sure they hit, or when they hit, add more damage, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Let's look at the other ability. Yeah,
that's one option. The other option for Warrior is Call of the Brave. When you roll, when you fail a roll with fear, you gain hope. So
okay, I do really like that for the two options they have right now. It's kind of playing on two different sides of one is
you want to be rolling a lot of hope.
Yeah.
The other one, you still want hope. Helps and this you, still gets
yeah,
you
roll against fear. Yeah.
Once per long rest. So this is the other one, the Slayer one, happens basically anytime you get hope. This one only happens once a day. Once per long rest, before you attempt something incredibly dangerous or face off against a foe who clearly outmatches you, describe what ritual you perform or preparation you make to clear two stress, which is big. Even it's bigger for spellcasters, it seems, but stress is an important one. It's both damage and like exhaustion and like how often you can use certain abilities.
Yeah.
So clear two stress and gain two hope. So this one seems to be less constant. Constantly, if you fuck up a roll, you're getting hope still. So you're still building some hope.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is like, for the most part, you're a basic warrior. And then when you're about to do something, you know, when the big bad is about to fight or a big guy or whatever, you know, a boss creature kind of thing, you go and kind of prepare yourself, you know, Arnold style, get covered in mud, make a torch, come out. And that makes you brave. You can mark, you know, clear some stress, which because this is once a day, that implies to me that you should be doing it at the end of a day close to, so that you've had some stress built up.
Yeah.
And gain two hope. Yeah. Maybe it'll be different once we get into the actual playing of the game, but this one feels far less interesting than the first one to me.
Yeah, I think for one, I personally tend to pick more towards the offensive versus the defensive options. So definitely the first one is calling to me a bit more. But yeah, it seems like just on by itself, I'm probably going to have more fun building up a pool of D6.
And adding damage than, and yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas this seems like it would be pretty niche almost. I mean, again, we haven't fully been able to play. We don't see monsters. We don't know all of that. But this one feel like, unless two stress
it seems
huge, like this doesn't seem that good.
It seems like it could be very useful depending on how like your not resources or whatnot, but like your HP and stress, how easy it is to regain that or lose that or whatnot.
I know stress you just mark off at the end of a long rest.
Yeah, that's fair then. So yeah, maybe it's not as useful, but we'll see. But either way, I'd probably end up picking.
I would pick Call of the Slayer as well.
We could go with
whereas that. Call of the Brave to me implies that it wants you to wait to use this till you know you're going to be dealing with something big, which means if the DM wants, they can just spring something big on you and you just don't get to use your ability. Call of the Slayer encourages you to just use it because it doesn't roll over. Anything you have at the end of a session is just gone. So when you're when you're building up those Slayer dice, use them, which I think is more fun, honestly.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So we're going to be Slayers. We're Call of the Slayers. So we're a Warrior Slayer.
What's Warrior Slayer, step three, choose a heritage.
So a heritage.
Heritage is made up of both ancestry and a community card. These two cards that establish your physical appearance and the kind of environment you grew up in.
Right. So for D&D players,
this is race and background.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we want to do race first?
I feel like that makes a bit more sense. Race, there's a lot of options
Yeah, we're
here.
not
We
going to go
might,
over all of them, but we'll probably give maybe a small little description.
a lot of the stuff you're used to,
Is
elf,
here
dwarf,
human
tiefling, although it's got a new name, it's here. They even got
halfling?
warforged, it seems like, but they're called
Yeah.
clanks here. Do we want to go with something fun? I was looking at
Dragonborn even are here, giant
the
Fungrill?
Fungrill the
Fungrill is
other night.
cool.
They look pretty sick. They
They
look
look
like
cool as fuck.
they're
These are mushroom
basically
people.
mushroom people.
These are
Yeah,
Myconid.
fungus.
They get a special ancestry ability, which is the same as a racial ability in D&D, called Always Connected. To speak with other Fungrill across distances, to access their hive mind of information, make an instinct or wisdom roll. I say or because that's what D&D players probably know it as. Instinct is their version of wisdom. Make an instinct roll. So to communicate with the Fungrill hive mind at any time, you just need to make an instinct roll. At character creation, describe what ritual you must perform to tap into this. So it's up to you and your GM how you specifically as a Fungrill do it. But yeah, any Fungrill can connect to the wider Fungrill internet.
Now I'm not seeing my favorite race here, which
No,
is
dude, they have
seeming
Cat Girl.
oh, they have Kitsune girl, huh? No, I'm not seeing my favorite
Gnome.
race here. Gnome.
Now they do
So
have Simia, which are ape guys.
yeah, now that's cool.
And they got
But
Ribbits, frog guys.
yeah,
But yeah, no gnomes as far as I can see.
Gnome's probably gonna be, if I'm gonna be dabbling in homebrew on this pretty early on, that's probably gonna be my first bit of homebrew. But yeah,
Is it because, and I don't really know Critical Role. Is it because they rarely play gnomes? I feel like there's rarely gnomes in Critical
well,
Role.
there was a big gnome guy in the
Oh,
first
true. Yeah.
season.
The bard guy. But he didn't behave like your typical gnome. I always assumed he was
That's
just a halfling.
Oh no, there's two gnomes. There was the paladin and the bard in the first
Oh,
one.
well, again, she didn't really seem like a gnome either. She seemed more like a dwarf.
But I think we should go with something a bit newer here. I know that D&D has hundreds of races
Yeah.
and whatnot, so basically all of these are
Nothing here
covered.
is something that you couldn't find in D&D either, I should say.
A couple of the ones that are calling to me are Ribbit, which is a great name for a frog person. Little frog person seems pretty cool, especially little frog person
The
warrior.
little frog
Or
slayer.
Galapagos big turtle guy.
See, I was thinking ape guy. Because ape together strong.
Let's see what they got. Galapagos shell of protection. The shell on your back always protects you. Add your proficiency bonus to your armor score. That's pretty
That is pretty.
good.
Let yeah. Let's be a turtle killer. Let's be a turtle with a big sword, armored up the fuck, killing guys.
Okay, look, I was gonna start reading their abilities and whatnot, but if you want to go turtle, I'm happy to go turtle.
I'm happy to be turtle. I don't think we need to be able to breathe and move around on water or have a long tongue. Let's just kill guys.
Galapa.
Galappa.
I feel like you could have gone with a more
Even
fun
just
turtle name.
Galapagos or something. Galappa just seems like you're stopping in the middle of a word because that's technically what you're doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah.
Like they nailed it with Ribbit. That's
Ribbit kicks
a
ass.
great name for frog
They could
people.
have just should have just called these guys like shell heads or something.
Well, yeah, if they wanted to be as lazy as possible. Like I feel like Galapa's already pretty lazy
Okay,
if
now
you wanted to go the extra mile
let's
there.
pick our community, our background in other terms. These are pretty, these I like in that they don't necessarily describe your job, which is the background D&D typically goes with.
No, I was thinking that a lot. It's more
Where you
how
grew
you
up.
grow up.
So there's Highborn, which is rich guy, mountain kind of stuff with Ridgeborn.
Yeah,
ocean.
There's mountain, sea, Underdark, it looks like basically wilds. Loreborn,
Which is
what is
like you grew up in a
Loreborn?
place with a lot of academia and a
Oh,
lot of
okay.
libraries kind of thing. Orderborn, which is you grew up in a place with a lot of laws and lawyers. Wander, which is
Yeah,
kind of
Wander
you
looks
grew
like
up in a nomadic
desert-y.
community.
Yeah.
And then Sly,
And
which
then
is
Slit.
a place with a lot of crime.
Okay.
So where do we want our Slayer turtle to be from?
Look, for a
Highborn?
turtle guy,
Rich
yeah,
boy
look,
turtle?
for a turtle guy, wild or sea probably makes the most sense. But Underborn's kind of sounding pretty cool. You get low
Slyborn?
light vision. Oh, these are actually cool. I didn't know you actually get abilities from
Yeah, you
these.
actually get stuff from these. Similar to some backgrounds do give features in D&D, but these ones it seems like they all do, which I appreciate.
Okay, I kind of like this for a turtle guy, where if you're just resting, with Seaborn, once per session, when you take a short rest, you may take one additional downtime
That
action.
is
So
really powerful, actually.
they're pretty good at chilling.
What does Slyborn give you? Scoundrel, you have advantage on any rolls when you're negotiating with criminals, detecting lies, or finding a safe place to hide.
That's pretty cool. Wild. Lightfoot, your movement is naturally silent. That's really funny for a big ass turtle. You have advantage on any rolls you make to
To
move
move
without
without
being
being
heard.
heard,
Bend
spend
a
a
hope
hope to
to
make other people
also
do
grant.
this.
Yeah.
Order.
I'm thinking Seaborn or Underborn.
Okay, Orderborn gets the dedicated ability, right? So they record three sayings or values that your upbringing instilled in you. Once per short rest, when you describe how you're embodying one of these principles throughout your current actions, you may roll a d20 as your hope die instead of a d12.
That's really cool. I do like more of the, even with Slyborn, I do like more of the role play abilities for things like backgrounds and stuff. I like the ones where it's like, oh, if you're playing to this role, you get this
Yes.
bonus a lot of the
I do
time.
think I like the ones that do that, but also give you something a little more mechanical to go
Yeah, a
along with
little
it.
more crunchy.
Like Slyborn, I think would have been cool if it gave you something besides just advantage.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But so yeah, my vote is maybe Orderborn or Seaborn.
Yeah, I'd say order or C. Let's just go order just to make it a bit more
Yeah,
interesting.
so we're not just a water turtle, we're a law
Yeah.
turtle. Okay, so that's our heritage. We have
Yeah.
our race, or we have our ancestry and our community. We're a turtle guy. He's from, a place with a lot of authority. He knows the law. He's got, oh, I guess we should come up with these three sayings. Great power, great responsibility.
Yeah, okay. Great
Know when
power,
to hold
great.
them, know when to fold them.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, those are our three sayings. When we make sure that we're doing those things, we get a pretty huge bonus.
Dude, I might after if we can after this episode, I might want to just start playing this guy.
This kicks ass,
This guy
dude.
kicks ass.
All right. What's our next step?
Right. Yeah, we got heritage. Select your traits and evasion. Traits are abilities, right?
Yes, and instead of letting you roll or point by, there are specific values that you spread around where you like.
Okay, that's. I'd say that's not as interesting for me
It does
as
feel a
when
little
I'm
bit like
building a
it
character
flattens
builder.
characters around a little bit, but
But it does make a character really easy to build, which seems like what they're going for with
yes.
this.
And if there are things later, because in the playtest material, we only get like first level stuff. For the most part. If there are opportunities later to increase those, then I'm more into it.
Yeah, me too. Now, what are we thinking? Are we thinking more of a big bruiser turtle or are we thinking more of a ninja turtle?
Okay, well, when you say it like that, we gotta be good. If you were gonna be a Ninja Turtle, we should have picked Rogue or whatever.
Well, I mean, that's if you're doing like sneaky ninja. I'm talking about, are we picking a fast fighter or a strong fighter?
Fast is funny because we're a turtle.
How big you are?
And because we have a big armored shell.
That is true. Plus, is agility your evasion score?
It's part of it, I believe.
To record your starting evasion score. Yeah, it looks like you start at 10, and then what is your evasion? Sprint, leap, smash, grab. I'm assuming it's agility, right?
If I had to guess, yeah, it would be agility and maybe like, you know, instinct or something.
Yeah.
It starts at a 9. Your
values. And then it's -1, 0, 0, +1, +1, +2. Your character traits. When rolling, you'll add these values to your character trait, then record your starting evasion score. Okay, it looks like it doesn't tell you
what your starting evasion score is.
Yeah, maybe it says somewhere else.
I know they on the actual sheet itself, it says they begin at 9. Right under evasion, but start at 9.
Well, this one for warrior, it says start at 10.
Oh, different per class. I was looking at bard. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, let's give the +2 to agility.
Which is cool, because I was looking at that we have a little list of starting weapons, and long swords are actually based on your agility, not your strength in this system.
Ooh, that is cool. And then I think we kind of got to give... Well, maybe we don't have to give a bonus to the strength if that's the case. Let's see. I'm thinking we're going for more physical type character.
Yeah.
So agility, I think maybe finesse makes sense for +1. I'm assuming that's like dexterity.
Well, agility, and they've done a similar thing to in our system we did, where they separate dexterity from moving fast and good with hands.
Which, yes, I'm biased, but I think
that's a good idea. Yeah. For our character right now, I don't think we need finesse. Finesse is more lockpicky stuff, more tinkery stuff. Some like rogue abilities use finesse. I don't think we need finesse.
I say let's put one of the +1s into strength. We don't know if we're always going to be using a long sword.
Plus, we might have to deal with being grappled or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, usually, as as a player, I like to kind of build into charisma or presence.
Maybe it's because of Kung Fu Panda, but it feels like we're an instinct guy.
I could see that. Yeah, you know what? Let's go instinct. But I'd say on the flip side of that, let's put the -1 into knowledge.
Yeah.
So we're not a smart guy, but we're a wise guy.
Yeah, we're a wise guy, eh?
And then zeros go into
we should have started with the criminal boy community and been a wise guy. We worked for the mob.
I'm just assuming with how this says to figure out your evasion with these scores. I'm assuming you just add whatever the starting is with your agility.
That's what I have to imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If we're so I'm going to put evasion 12. That,
we'll see. But yeah. With nothing else to go by, and 12 sounds pretty low, but remember, you're only 2d12.
It's 2d12. Yeah.
So that's relatively, you know, hard to do.
Yeah. That's definitely at the very least middle of the pack.
Right. Okay. So we got our stats, we got our evasion.
Yeah, okay. Set your threshold and hope. Each class will start with its own damage die thresholds detailed on the character sheet under the hit point section. It looks like it's already filled out here. Record these in the appropriate spaces, then take 2 hope at the start of the game. I guess that's done?
Yeah, that seems to be done for us so far. I guess you can fill in the hope little thing underneath.
Spend hope. Yeah, you it looks like you spend that as you go. So you start with two.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah, that makes
But
sense.
yeah, so far, hope doesn't seem like something you would necessarily need to really spec into having a ton of. You know, we
Yeah,
can
no.
you can use it to like help people out or make people stealthy or whatever, but it doesn't seem to be crazy useful. But we'll see as we go through.
Yeah, okay. Starting, what is it? Choose starting weapons, decide what kind of weapons you want at the start of the game and record their details in the appropriate spaces. I guess you just pick one.
Let's just go with the suggested stuff that's in our character sheet, what they suggest you should have. Hey, we got really close to the suggested traits they suggest for our guy too.
Hell yeah.
Suggested primary weapon is your long sword,
Yeah, let's. I think longsword, we already said that makes sense.
which one of the things, and it's why our armor isn't, or our evasion isn't, doesn't worry me too much. From what I recall, actually hitting somebody isn't really what that talks about.
Yeah, no, I think it, well, I might be wrong, but I think in this, it's kind of one of those systems where.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you always hit? It's just how, like, by how much and what actually
Yes.
happens. But I don't think there's really an AC
I
sort of
think
deal.
evasion might be the AC, but we'll have to see when we're playing with
Yeah.
it. One thing I do like, well, I don't know if I fully like, but it is maybe cool. Your weapon just rolls a damage die. You don't really add anything to it.
Yeah, that's kind of what that's kind of what I was thinking. Damage die for a long sword is a
D8.
D8.
And it has the reliable feature, plus one to attack rolls with this weapon.
Cool.
So with our Slayer die, that's we're gonna be pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Suggested armor is breastplate armor. So we
Okay.
get a basic armor score of 5, and we get, because we're a turtle, get to add our proficiency to that. So I think we're also gonna be armored out.
Yeah. Yeah, so base armor is 5. So yeah, up in the armor next to evasion would be 6-7 in armor.
Damn. Okay, now we get our inventory right.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going at. I think that's, yeah, we got a starting armor, starting.
So there's also suggested
Yeah.
beginning inventory, which is a torch, some rope, basic supplies, all that's
Yeah,
fine.
we probably don't need a
One
torch.
thing that seems cool to me is that they have their own version of like a mana potion in that, because magic draw gives you stress when you use it, and so do some abilities. They have stamina potions which clear a little bit of stress.
Yeah, that's one thing I like. So I love the trope of health, stamina, and mana potions being in fantasy things, but in D&D, stamina and mana potions,
Not
like
really a
stamina
thing.
and yeah, because there's not really too much of mechanics tied to it with like spell slots and the like. So I love a game that can include those kind of
Right.
things.
Which, to be fair, Baldur's Gate 3 does include Elixirs of Arcane Cultivation, which are basically mana potions, in that they
Yeah,
give you
but
a spell slot.
yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Choose inventory, choose a description, make choices to from the following options that will have your character. Yeah,
We
okay.
just decide what we look like, kind of thing.
Take a dome, take domain deck cards.
Okay, so this is where things get cool. We get two domain decks that we to pick from. For us, it is
Blade and
Blade and
Bone.
Bone, which is a cool thing to call it.
Sounds cool as
Those
hell,
sound
yeah.
cool as hell. We get two
Although I would
cards.
probably call it Blade and Shell.
We get two cards from these. Of any amount from either one. So we two cards total, but we could have two blade or two bone or one of each.
Okay.
And after a long rest, we can switch these out. These are not make what choice, done with it kind of things. They do also suggest there's a very limited number of these. I mean, there's a decent amount, but not like a crazy amount. So they do suggest if
Yeah.
you're in a party and somebody overlaps your domain, talk to them so you're not taking the same ability unless that's something
Yeah,
you want.
fair.
So.
As of right now, we have three blade cards and three domain cards to choose
Yeah,
from.
three blade, three bone to pick from. We get to pick
Yeah.
two of these. We probably shouldn't go through all of them.
It's not too much. I think we
Yeah.
could kind
So for blade, we'll just start with blade. They have some
Yeah.
numbers on them. The little banner number, I assume, is level. I don't really know what the little energy card is, the little
I'm assuming
energy
that's
symbol.
action, how much action points it takes to get
Yeah,
these.
maybe. But yeah, so
Because there's
they're.
one at the bottom there that's zero, and I assume most of them are one. But I'm hoping, because
As you
when you were
level up,
talking about the
some of them get
monster,
more. Yeah.
yeah, some of them are more expensive, because I think that'd be a lot of
Well, even just
fun.
right now, some of the wizard one, the codexes, are two baseline.
Okay, that's cool. So yeah, I'm
But
hoping
I
that's.
don't know if those are action, though, because I don't think at level 1 you get two actions.
Yeah. This I the one thing I really like about it being like the cards, but I mean it doesn't really matter if it's cards as long as it's like a modular building system like
Yeah.
this, is instead of new classes or subclasses coming out or whatever all the time, it could just be new abilities for your classes coming out. And I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
It's because basically the only people that get that in other like D&D are spellcasters. And it's like, here's a
Yeah,
new
here's a
spell.
new spell. Rarely are they like, here's a new maneuver for your battle
Yeah,
master.
exactly.
Because it would just be one for one subclass of one class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
So yeah, for our first blade ability is called Not Good Enough. When you roll your damage dice, you may re-roll any ones or twos. If you do so, you have to take the new result, even if it is a one or two.
Okay,
Now,
so
because this is playtest material, I'm going to assume, benefit of the doubt, if we use Slayer on this to add damage, they don't count for it. Now, rules as written, they would count because it just says when you may re-roll any ones and twos. But
yeah, well, it says when you roll damage dice. So
Right.
slayer dice and damage dice might
Well,
be two different
I
things.
guess, but if we can roll it and add it to our damage roll, don't those technically then become damage dice?
Yeah. I
I'm inclined
yeah.
to just be like, let's not break the game currently, because that
Yeah.
seems broken.
Well, I mean, the playtesting, this is sort of
That's
what
kind
it's
of what we're
for.
trying to do,
Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly.
So when we like tell them about it, because there's a survey for us, we might want to say, hey, you might want to specify like which specific damage dice, if any.
Yeah.
Or there's retaliation. When you take damage from a creature in melee range, you may mark stress to immediately deal your weapon damage to that creature at half proficiency, rounded up. So we get to, oh yeah, yeah. And you roll, when you're rolling damage, instead of adding like a stat, like strength or agility, you add your proficiency to it.
Okay.
So yeah, this would be, you know, at half proficiency, but you just automatically deal that damage. So
that is cool.
And for the last blade ability, this one has a zero, so I don't, again, I don't fully know what that means just yet, but it's called Whirlwind. When you make a successful attack using a weapon with either melee or very close range, you may also spend a hope to use that roll against every other enemy in that weapon's range.
Okay, I like that a lot.
Additional enemies you succeed against with this ability take half damage. So you're not doing full damage and you still have to roll an attack.
Yeah, so you're still using, if that is zero action points or whatever they were called, you're still using one to do that. But I'm a big fan of like the cleave sort of things. I like a lot of the sort of crowd control abilities taking on crowds. So I like that one a lot, but let's also look at bone.
Let's look at bone.
Just choose two bones.
Bone ability, deft maneuvers. This one also has a zero. You can spend hope to move anywhere within far range without making an agility roll to get there. So this is like your rogue in D&D, your cunning action to just run somewhere kind of thing. This is your dash as a bonus action ability. Or there's nimble. While this card is in your loadout, add your agility score to your... Okay, so I guess you don't normally...
Ooh, okay, yeah, I guess you don't. I guess it's just 10.
Whatever it is.
Or, yeah,
for us,
whatever
10,
the starting is.
For most, 9.
But I like that there are passive abilities, too, like that. That's really cool.
Yeah, while this card... And this
but
one
I'm
has
guessing...
a little one lightning, which means it
yeah,
that can't be action.
So that's what I was going to say. I'm guessing that's not... action point cost.
So yeah, while this card is in your loadout, which is cool, I like that that's a thing that can be done.
Yeah,
add your agility score to your evasion. So
does that mean you could switch out your loadouts?
Yes, like I said, at the end, after a long rest, you switch out your loadout. You have the option to.
That's really cool.
That's
I like
one
that
of
a
the
lot.
Things you can
yeah.
do. Yeah. With their long rest, you there are a bunch of different options. One of those being switch out your loadout. You get to pick two. So.
Yeah, okay. Then I do see a lot more merit. I don't remember if we talked about it in this episode, but I know we've talked about how I don't see them being cards as a necessary thing.
But with the
I do
just swap out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have found with new players having abilities on cards. So this is just a piece of advice if you
does
want to
remind them to use it a little bit.
Yeah. So like I played a game with some friends at work, and I played a game with my cousin Henrique, who's been on the show I think before.
Once,
I don't
I think.
Know. Yeah. And Adam, where I went through, and for his sake, and just because I thought it might be useful for Adam in D&D, I went and basically typed out and printed out every D&D like class and subclass ability that they'll end up like earning in like leveling up to get, and I printed those out and handed it to them as they earned it.
Yeah,
and that helped my cousin Henrique a lot on deciding what to do, remembering what he had. So I thought that was just a good idea, like for this. I'm like, oh, that's a cool
basically
kind of
that's this built
benefit
in.
Of the card. Yeah,
but yeah, now that
but
also if, you can switch it out,
yeah,
like it makes a little more sense why they're cards.
Yeah,
now one thing I think,
I don't think everything needs to be a card, especially since there is a spot on the character sheet for heritage and subclass.
Yeah, I don't know if heritage and subclass necessary. Well, At least
subclass
the
is
one,
an ability. Yeah, they do have abilities.
Yeah, they got abilities, and that's where we store our Slayer dice. So I get the idea.
Yeah.
One thing there's no rules for, but might be cool, is getting extra cards through the adventure and then adding those to something that could then be in your loadout later.
I think that's cool. So that's something I kind of, when I heard about like the card system and whatnot and sort of the concept of it, I was like, oh, making like classless, like if everything's ability cards, just making kind of like classless, like generic ability cards and being like, oh, here, I'll hand this ability to you as a reward. I think that would be so cool.
And the last bone card we have, I see it coming. When you are targeted by a ranged attack, mark a stress to roll your hope die and increase your evasion against this attack by its value. That seems very strong.
Yeah, that seems really cool.
So bone seems to be a lot of more of your kind of roguey abilities.
Yeah. If I was to choose my top choices right now, I think Nimble, we already kind of did it, and I think with sort of the high armor, we're kind of going for like a defensive sort of thing. I think Nimble kind of makes a lot of sense.
Nimble is cool.
Whirlwind would probably be my top choice for an ability I would choose.
I'm cool with that too. I think Retaliation would be cool, and that's the fun of being able to switch out the loadout. We could try multiple, but Retaliation could be cool to be like we're hard to hit, and if we are hit, we have a lot of armor. And if you do manage to hit us, we get to immediately do damage to you.
Yeah. And I will say that one thing about having passive ability, I love that passive abilities are in here and whatnot. One thing about having the passive abilities is passive abilities, I know, are a lot. I feel like it's a lot harder mentally for you to decide to swap out a passive ability like that. Like,
yeah,
if you're
there's some psychological
thing
to be like, well, I don't want to get rid of it. I've always just kind of had it.
Yeah, I always have it. I'm going to just kind of forever lower that evasion for us would be from a 12 to a 10. So I know personally, I don't know if I would swap out Nimble a bunch, even though...
I think you get more cards. You can hold more cards at a time, which is cool.
Yeah, which I like. We're going with Nimble and Whirlwind then?
Yes, although you could see the argument for switching to I See It Coming because it costs hope. It costs stress. Never mind. Now, if we went Brave and get to mark off stress, then I could see I See It Coming because then we could just, you know, do that as many times as we like, mark off the stress and like attack and like get to add our hope die, which is d12 to our evasion.
Yeah. Now Whirlwind, our other ability is hope based, right?
We're rolling with hope. So this we would be building to do this more, which I think is cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I think when you roll with hope, you would get hope and you get the Slayer die, which lets you do better Whirlwind. So I think that would be kind
cool.
Of
I would
cool.
go Nimble and Whirlwind, especially if because we still have to roll to hit them, that means we could add our Slayer die to hitting them or to do more damage to them.
Yeah.
Even
and
with the Whirlwind.
And like we said, this is not a final choice. You get
we could just switch when we wanted to.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so cool. All right, so yeah, I think right now
Nimble and Whirlwind would be the cards I say we would pick.
Okay. Step 10, step 11, answer background questions. Use your background questions on your character guide as a jumping off point to build your character's history. We don't need to get into
that. We don't
need
to get
now.
Into that, but they are cool. They're basically like your traits, bonds, and stuff in D&D, but just like they're class specific, and they're just like, hey, who taught you how to fight? And why did they stay behind when you left?
I think
to get you into the character.
Yeah,
I think that's
I think that's a lot. I think having it as a question form is a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for?
More
I think
useful,
it
maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it promotes more thought, I guess is what I'm saying, than like bonds and flaws and whatnot.
And where bonds and flaws can sometimes, to me, feel restrictive, in that, oh, I've made a decision that I like to
lie. So now I always feel like I gotta lie or I'm not playing my character. These are just making you think about who your character is, which is cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay. And then connections is a similar concept. It's just, and this I, as a DM, or because I'm pretty typically DM, Andrew's a DM as well, but as DMs, it can really be a pain in the ass to have to force players who don't make their backgrounds or anything connected to each other to be a party if it doesn't make sense for them to be a party.
Yeah, yeah.
The connection part of building a character just does that for you. It's, all right, why do you guys know each other? And like, they're like, oh, well, I don't think my character would know this guy. And it's like, no, that's part of the fucking game. Your guy knows this guy. Why does he know this guy?
I mean, I don't think that's a end all be all fix for that sort of issue with like players and whatnot, but it's definitely a good benefit.
It's gonna be a help. And there's no option there, which I think with some players, if it wasn't like inbuilt to the system, they would be just be like, well, I don't know him. You figure out why I would work with him, DM, which I find a little annoying.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's always something I get annoyed with.
All right, and then what's next?
Generate experience. Use all the choices you've made about your character so far for their experience to set a narrative words or phrase to represent the kind of things they've learned or become as journey so far. Assign +2 and +1 to their starting values. What is their starting values? Is that their traits?
I think that's our traits, yeah.
So we get to put an additional +1 or +2?
Yes, based on our experiences.
Okay.
So, you know, if we're a warrior and we're building with our background and our community, we work with law, maybe we're like a bounty hunter kind of thing. Like literally, like a guy doesn't show up to court because we got a lot of court stuff going on. We go and pick him up kind of thing. And that lets us take a +2 to like strengths or probably agility if we're trying to
optimize. I'm trying to see if it says starting values. Rolling, add the value of your character trait. So yeah, I'm guessing that is, distribute your values. Yeah, okay. So values seems to be your traits. I do really like that a lot, because that's a big issue I find in a lot of D&D is people would be like, oh, I have this epic little backstory or whatever, I slayed a whole fucking town of orcs or whatever, and then you're like, yeah, but you're a level 1 character and a goblin can kill you with a
little shot. Part of that in like Baldur's Gate where every single companion is like, oh, I'm like, you know, I've fought in the blood war for centuries and I have an infernal engine in my chest making me Zariel's personal killer. Well, yes, I'm a level 1 barbarian. Why do you ask?
Yeah, exactly. But I love that there's a mechanical benefit to backstory here. I think that's that really cool. And that's gonna entice a lot of players to to make a backstory even when if they're not don't tend to. And I would be like, if you don't really have any idea, we could figure something out. Like I could sit here help you figure it out, but if you really don't want like a backstory, then maybe you don't get that starting experience because you haven't had experience up to this point, which I think that could be a lot of fun with players, that you could hold on to that and give them that later. Say if I was just a young boy, I was in a village, I haven't really had any like combat or any adventuring experience or anything. Once I start doing it, like I feel like you've gained enough experience. Here's your +1. Maybe you separate it out, give them the +2 later.
Yeah. And at the end of your character sheet here, there are level advancement. So at level 2 through 4, we do get an additional experience. So after our first level, it's like, okay, you've just done something pretty, you know, cool or whatever. Get another experience.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I feel like it promotes a lot of good role-playing habits and there's a lot of cool flexibility. I like that it has a mechanical benefit to it, but it's not such a harsh mechanical benefit to it where you have to kind of force your way into making it make sense.
I agree.
I think that's
really is really cool. And one thing that I don't know if I fully like, but this does seem that class and especially subclass is a very minor part of who your character, where I think in D&D 5th ed, the major part of who your character is.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Which I really like the subclass system of 5e. I like the how different it can make two classes, like Bladesinger and Abjuration Wizard are very different characters. Whereas Slayer and Brave Warrior don't seem very like crazy different from each other. So it seems like subclass is not a huge deal. But maybe that'll change in the future, or maybe that's just a design choice, which I think is okay.
Yeah, I think it's more, I don't think subclass is the big thing here. I think it's the domain decks is where you're going to get a lot more of the variable between each other, where you're picking different abilities and you're even, like you were saying, where you talk about it, where you don't want the overlap, but you might be talking to each other too, not only for overlap, but synergies between each other. And
sure,
stuff too.
Yeah.
And with it being like that for each class, even if it's not like Warrior and Warrior, you might be doing that a lot with Warrior and Rogue. Or
yeah, because they both have access to Bone. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, we could both be pretty nimble. That's fine. And then we'll just be out in front, like, doing stuff kind of thing. Yeah.
Now, where are we feeling we put these plus ones, plus two?
I'm a big optimizer in D&D. Some people call that cheese. I don't think it's cheese unless you're, like, intentionally breaking stuff or whatever. I think that's just being optimized.
I like a bit. I
don't
like
feeling weak. I don't mind having weaknesses, but if the things I want to be good at, I want to be good at them.
Yeah, I like a little bit of a mixed bag. I like to kind of build around my character for like what I'm going for. But I do also, whatever I want to be my character's thing or whatever, I want that to be high. Now, this does give me an opportunity to get that presence I was looking for, too.
But with that plus two and we have nimble, that ups our evasion to like 14.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe we put the ability, the plus one into presence, and then we put the plus one into presence, which gives us a plus one in three different abilities.
Yeah, I like
that. And then the plus two into agility, which gives us a plus four in that.
Yeah, we're fast as fuck. We're hard to hit. And if you do hit, we're tanky as fuck. We're good at damage. We're good at
With instinct and presence, we're not gonna be useful and useless outside of combat.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Situations too.
We're just not very smart, which leaves other characters who can pick up our slack.
Yeah, we're not great at finesse, and we're kind of dumb as hell.
Which is okay. One thing that maybe in the survey I'll put in. I think experiences should have a downside. Like maybe you get a plus two, a plus one, and then a minus one or a minus two. So I can be bad at something. And then being like, well, let's just go all in. We're stupid. Or, you know, oh, well, I've got the points and I don't necessarily need them. Put it in the strengths.
Yeah, I think that's good in character creation. And if you talk to your players with the understanding that, oh, your experiences will come later, like I was talking about before, that's okay. I don't necessarily think that should be a part of the leveling up experience sort of thing. I think that'd be a real bummer for a lot of players. But I think here in character creation, that would be a pretty interesting. That is one thing. I know a lot of people, like, there's a pretty contentious on the whole or race bonuses in D&D like they used to have. But I did really like having minuses to specific races and specific things, giving those weaknesses to...
Yeah, even if they weren't like race-based, to be like, all orcs are stupid. I would just be like, you have to have a minus two somewhere you can pick. So I'm an orc who's, you know, weak, like slow or whatever. Or I'm an orc who's not very wise.
Yeah, no, exactly. Do we in our system, it was the big thing we did. I like having flaws in your character. Like
I agree.
I love feeling powerful in RPGs and whatnot. I love feeling like you're really good at the shit you do, but I don't like feeling like you're the perfect
Yeah,
person.
if I'm too good at everything, I
I
get
lose.
bored.
Yeah, I get pretty bored. So yeah, let's do our experience. For our agility, we were trained by a rat master in the sewer or
In the
whatever.
sewers of our order-bound city,
Yeah, the
and for our
Armored City.
presence, we
We're
love to
just a
go out
pretty
and get
chill
pizza.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love hanging out with our friends and getting pizza. All right, 13, record your name and pronouns.
Oh
Generate
no, the game's woke. Oh no, you're fucking
generate
kidding.
a
That's so
character in
stupid.
it. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to be like, yeah, this is a like crucial part of our character. Like, I wouldn't even put make your name as part of like the character building like steps. But yeah, it's pretty easy to do that. We're Michelangelo,
No,
Leonardo,
no,
Raphael,
no.
Donatello.
We're a sword guy. We are Leonardo.
We're Da Vinci.
Yeah,
That's our name.
that's Leonardo.
Yeah.
We're
Our name,
Da
Da
Vinci Johnson.
Vinci James.
Our pronouns are he, him.
James.
No, because it's
He,
two of
him.
us. We're they, them. He
Were
represents
they
both of
them?
us.
Were turtle they turtle them?
Yeah.
Okay. Then share your character sheet. I mean, I guess it is good to put that on, have a place for that on the character. It could having that be a thing for one. It makes it pretty easy to be like, oh, I'm not always playing my same gender and whatnot, so it's
Yeah,
easy to keep
and it
track
is
of.
nice to have a place for that to just be like what do I call your
It's
character? Yeah.
yeah, and it's just nice to have that. You put it down on the paper so it's a comfortable place, so you're not like, hey, like coming out and being, hey, everybody, make sure you call my character they them, and then you like sit there and have arguments about like it could create friction or whatever. I don't think it's a
Yeah.
very necessary thing, but it's not a harmful thing, and I could see
If
it.
you're playing with people who are gonna cause friction over your character's pronouns, you probably don't have to play with those kind of
Yeah,
guys.
well, I'm saying like it's not even always like an intentional thing. Like some people do like slip up and like
Well, yeah, but
they'll like
that's not
say
really a
she.
friction necessarily.
Yeah, but and then but even if it is not an intentional thing, some people that still does hurt them a little bit and whatnot. I'm not saying like it's a lot like, oh, it's always gonna be like, oh, I'm specifically dead naming you or whatever. But it's nice that there's a visual place for that if you need that sort of
Yeah.
thing. And then yeah, down at the end, ask any connection questions on your character guide to the other characters at the table or generate your own. Use this as an opportunity to discuss how you all met, what brought you together, or why your party decided to travel together. So
Yep.
yeah, I do really
I
like
do
that. That's
appreciate that,
baked
Sheeps. Yeah.
into character creation.
All right, and I think Da Vinci is done.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. I kind of look, I'll be honest,
I like this system so far. I mean, we haven't
yeah,
really played it, but it's got some
at
cool
least for
ideas.
character creation and other systems, even D&D, like I like it a lot because it feel like I like to build with those sort of
Yeah, me
mechanics and
too.
stuff. But if you're trying to start a game and like you're like, okay, I gotta help everybody create a character here, everything, it could feel a lot like a drag, especially getting pretty nitty gritty. This feels like a pretty easy, like there's a couple things I feel like could be explained a bit more, To be a bit more clear on what exactly it is, but this feels like a pretty easy flow for character creation.
Yeah, and I was gonna say it took us obviously the length of this podcast because we kind of discussed everything, we explained a lot of stuff. But if you were just actually playing this, I feel like you can make a character very quick.
Oh yeah, you sit there, you pick a class, you pick an ability you like for a subclass. That's pretty easy. I like that most of it is just basically what ability do you like, and that kind of gives you an answer for what you are. Like, you go through and you're like, oh, I like the extra downtime, so my guy is gonna be from the sea.
Because he loves area. To chill, yeah.
Yeah. And then that gives you, it kind of helps you work backwards a bit too, if you're, like, you could work both ways, which I think is really cool, where if you're going for the more narrative angle or the more mechanical angle, each one gives you information about the other, which I think is really cool.
I think this is a nice system. It's clearly I really like thought put into it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really like so I like different systems for it in different ways. We just talked about how we dabbled in Dungeon Crawl Classics. That one is really random and it's sort of based like that, and you kind of know what you're buying into it, but I don't know if for a game I'm playing all the time and whatnot, building a lot of characters for, I would enjoy it being that random.
And we talked ran about through that a with game, that. Yeah, of Dungeon Crawl Classic together, just to try to try it out. And it was fun, but it was very random. It felt like what my character was had very little impact on what my character did.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like, immediately from that, we talked about like, oh, we like a lot of the stuff that the system has, but I'm definitely going to cut down on a lot less of randomness and make it more player choice. This is basically all player
choice. Yeah, there wasn't really any random effects.
Yeah, not even ability scores, which is usually the one random thing. Which, if you do want to keep that, I could see a pretty easy way of having like random ability scores where you just set the like same numbers to a minus one, zero, add it minus to a two,
dice or whatever,
and then you could roll that out on a dice. They should probably make a system for that and put it as an option, but make it pretty clear that's not the default option for it.
But even like, I get why they didn't. Most people like point buy more anyway, and this is just expedited point buy. This is just a sign, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it's really good for streamlining and stuff.
But yeah, I am interested to see what multi-classing would be like, getting access to more domains, more abilities kind of thing. As far as I can see here, besides maybe Seraph and stuff, it doesn't seem to be a huge option for what I like to play a lot, what is called a Gish, kind of a spell knight kind of guy.
That's usually
a huge option for that.
That's usually my go-to, like a battle mage sort of thing. That's my favorite sort of
It's why I love a Bladesinger. It's maybe my favorite subclass. I don't see a huge option for that.
It's a big reason why I love fucking Hex Blades.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. We still haven't looked at it all in detail too. If you guys like this and you like hearing about this and you want us to take another route, make another class or something, it probably wouldn't take as long because we don't have to sit here and figure out and explain to ourselves and others.
This is a much bigger ask, but we have been considering doing an actual play, and once we get the okay, using Daggerheart for that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty, especially from the ground floor, a pretty simple start for that. I mean, that does take a lot more.
It's a possibility.
And
if there's a big interest in it, I mean, we would do it because if there's big interest, but that's just depends on what you guys are interested in.
I do want to look at this a lot more. I can't wait till the open beta comes out because I would love to play this. I have a game planned for Adam and his girlfriend Sadie that I've been looking for a system for. I was thinking about Dungeon Crawl Classics because I really love that
it's spell system
spell casting system in that, but I want a real video gamey feel for that game. So this might be the one I go for.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that.
And maybe we'll like build one and whatnot. Because it looks really cool, and I know Sadie's really interested. It's in that.
She's,
class,
yeah, very interested. Yeah.
Druid,
they have a beast
really...
form thing, which is
yeah,
cool.
The beast
yeah.
form, I kind of really like.
It's like an expedited wild shape, which is fun. But yeah,
because that's my biggest issue with wild shape is keeping track of your forms,
yeah,
and whatnot. They have everything on one page, and it's like different enough between each other that each one has a place and a purpose,
yeah.
But not different enough where. It's not going to be that different between being
a bear and a moose,
a mouse and a weasel, yeah,
yeah.
Or a bear and a moose, and whatnot.
I wouldn't
think that's
hate
really cool.
Some more different abilities, but that's one if it need be easily like homebrewed, or maybe that's what the cards do even. So
yeah, I really want to see what the druid cards do for
yeah.
their beast forms.
So maybe we'll look into that.
Yeah, and like even if that's like not a thing that, like I said before, if it being cards and whatnot, giving out abilities seems like it would be a really easy and cool reward,
yeah, even
for players.
Even
so
if
being,
it is homebrew, just making a new domain deck called like Primal or whatever,
yeah,
for
or
animals,
yeah, or just adding whatever the domain, like the Sage or whatever,
yeah,
where it's like adding an ability in the Sage deck where it's like. Oh, if you're in wild shape, if you have this loaded, you could spend
if
a
you're
point
a bear
or
whatever.
You
yeah.
could breathe fire in your wild
oh,
shape.
Oh, yeah,
or
that's a whole different thing. But I mean, like making the animals feel more different, like playing a bear feel more like a bear than as opposed to being a moose. Being like, if you're a moose and you use this card, you get the trample ability, or if you're a bear, you get the, you know,
yeah, I think that might be a bit. More nitty-gritty than what they're going for, but maybe if it's like, oh, if you're a hooved creature or
yeah, that
kind of
thing. But yeah, that'll probably call it for this episode. If you are interested, you can let us know. One of the best ways to let us know is at our email at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
yeah, or our social medias, like our Instagram at AtomicAndroid2020,
or our Twitter for also X or whatever at Atomic Androids.
Yeah,
thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this.
If you guys did enjoy this, check it out. Like we said, it should be. I mean, we're not allowed to post this before the open beta is out, so it. Jump on that open beta. I don't know how long it's gonna be open for,
but yeah, if you get the chance, I recommend looking into it.
Yeah, this seems really fun actually, and I kind of want to play it as soon as possible.
I also really want to play this does sound fun.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and like we said, if you do end up there, let them know they sent
yeah.
us. All right, we sent you because
yeah, if you liked
us
getting advanced stuff on stuff like this, and you thought it was a good way to kind of hear about this stuff, the more you let people know about that kind of thing, the more often we get to do it. So
yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Yeah.
We should really post this. And
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.